No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. No Dave, no Ezzy, but I've gone to the bench and brought in a better replacement than I could have ever imagined. Former Winnipeg sportscaster, longtime friend of Illegal Curve, Joe Piscucci, joining us tonight for the Illegal Curve post-game show. Joe, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us to talk about tonight's 3-2 defeat of the Winnipeg Jets by the Los Angeles Kings.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be Dave or Ezzy tonight.
You know what? Be Dave. I love them both dearly. Be Dave. There's only one Ezzy, and I think one Ezzy is more than enough for all of us.
I'd have to have that beard look I sported for a couple of years back in the CKND days to be Ezzy. But appreciate you have let me on, like we were talking a little bit before. I hope it's not because of my angry old man tweet the other night about Mark Scheifele in that Leaf game. I got a lot of reaction, but you know, I had just had enough. And I just let it go.
Well, you know what? Why don't we, you know, we'll get to the Jets and the Kings, but you were in attendance on Thursday night in Toronto. You live now from in Toronto again. That's where you're from originally. And then you obviously spent so many years of your career here in Winnipeg, but you moved back to Toronto. So you were at the ACC or whatever the hell the arena is called there in Toronto now. You saw that game. You saw the Jets take that 2-0 lead on Thursday. You know, for a guy who, you know, watches the Jets on TV most nights, what did you see that led you to such anger, let's say, regarding Mark Scheifele? Not unfairly, I might add, because I think your commentary was nothing but fair for what has been a tough season for one of the key members of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, after that tough game in Buffalo where, you know, only Connor Hellebuyck and maybe a few other Jets showed up to play, you know, I figure they're going to get blown out by the Leafs if they put out that same effort. But they came out and they played really well. Mm-hmm. You know, Blake Wheeler, you know, got them going with that beautiful goal going around Giordano. They're up 2-0. Things are looking good. They're in control. The Leafs are kind of sleepwalking through this first period so far. And then Scheifele makes that pass at the blue line. Like, I don't know what it was. Was it just a gift? Because he basically just passed it over to the Leaf player because there was nothing behind the pass. It was just a soft little play into the puck into the middle of the ice. And of course, Mark Giordano scored on a puck that was deflected and went by Hellebuyck. They got the 3-1 lead back. But then after that, the Leafs just rolled over the Jets that night. But it all started with that Scheifele play. And of course, we've seen it all season long with Mark Scheifele, and we'll talk about him again tonight in this Kings game. But, you know, I just had enough of it. I let it go. Mark features in on my comments again tonight.
There you go. And that's, you know, and that's the you know, that is the fair commentary that it's been for the Winnipeg Jets and for Mark Scheifele this year is, and we were talking about it off air, and I've said this on air before with Ezzy and with Dave, people who don't watch this Winnipeg Jets team and just look at the numbers, mm-hmm. just look at the raw numbers, especially for a guy like Scheifele. They'd say, hey, there's Mark Scheifele doing what Mark Scheifele does best. He's a tremendous goal scorer. He's a tremendous point accumulator. But anybody who was watched this Jets team night in and night out, like you have and like we have, you know, we know where Mark Scheifele has been lacking and how he's been lacking more nights than most for this Jets team this year. You know, on a game like, you know, what I was really, you know, Wednesday's game in Buffalo, the team gets the sort of the kick in the stomach, the punch in the stomach. That is the news that Kyle Connor and Nate Schmidt are going to be out for the next three games, as it turns out, maybe more. We'll see. But let's say for the next three games for sure, who's going to step up in their absence? And you saw Wheeler step up. You certainly saw him step up on Thursday. You saw Pierre-Luc Dubois step up. Mark Scheifele is the guy who probably should have stepped up the most, and he was AWOL like he's been so many nights this year. And again, tonight, I mean, Mark Scheifele was not what I would describe as noticeable for any of the right reasons. And he, you know, and he gets an assist on the night, and we'll talk about it again. But, you know, where's Mark Scheifele to impose his will on the game and take over for an opponent, take over an opponent? And you haven't seen that this year.
No, I think that Mark Scheifele was about two or three seasons ago.
Yeah.
You know, so where that player's gone. And, you know, I would blame Paul Maurice a lot for this. But, you know, maybe that's for a discussion a little later on in the show, because we haven't even touched on tonight's game.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's so much to talk about.
Just the fact that we know the Jets are done. Yeah. They're done. They're not going to make the playoffs. Did you watch the Hockey Night in Canada pregame? They're giving the Jets the, you know, the big buildup that they're still in the playoff race. They're not in the playoff race. They haven't been in the playoff race since November.
It's like, you know,
like, give it a rest, people. They're not making the playoffs. They're not giving it a push to make the playoffs. There's just no will on that team. They don't play with enough desperation, you know. And tonight, what, the game starts at what, 6 o'clock Manitoba time?
Yeah.
What time did they show up to play? 7 o'clock Manitoba time. What? They missed the, you know, they can't get up an hour earlier to play a game?
Well, isn't that just the story of the Jets season? I mean, you know, the second and the third periods, they didn't play poorly. I would suggest that they probably matched.
When they showed up.
Yeah, when they showed up. There's I've said this on air, so this isn't anything that I haven't said before. It's there's an arrogance to their game.
Yes.
In that they think that they can just show up for one period or two periods and take over the game and take over and be better than their opponent. Well, that's not how it works. I mean, you guys, you know, they aren't a 1970s edition of the Montreal Canadiens. In 2022, there are very, very, very few teams, even the best teams in the league, cannot show up for just one period and usually win a game.
Right.
And the Jets aren't the best team in the league. Don't get me wrong. They are where they are in the standings for a reason. So the fact that, again, tonight, there's just no reason on a Saturday night at home, you know, your first Saturday night home game since November, in front of what should be an excited crowd that is maybe holding on to the faint hope that you have a chance to make the playoffs because they have to justify their expenditure of hundreds of dollars to being in that arena tonight, that you can come out and be outshot 19-6 in the first 20 minutes. It's just inconceivable that that is how you come out for the start of this game. And it's not a one-time only problem. It's a pattern for this team that they don't show up for the first 10 minutes of every game.
Yeah. And I haven't seen Dave Lowry's post-game comments tonight, but let's see. Well, we'll take a look at, you know, the game, and we'll, you know, work on the things that, you know, we didn't like. Isn't that Ben? He says that all the time, you know? Yeah. He says it all the time. So I haven't heard them yet, but I'm sure that's in there tonight.
Yeah, well, look, we've come to expect, you know, you've gone from the overly verbose Paul Maurice to Dave Lowry, who doesn't say anything and doesn't really give a real assessment of the team.
Right.
I mean, you can definitely feel now, you know, after Thursday and then tonight, that the next, you know, what is it, 12 games of the season are just playing out the string. Yeah. There's no realistic opportunity to come back. And, you know, who's playing tonight? I think Dallas and Vegas are both playing, or Dallas is playing, I think, San Jose tonight or something. So you know that, you know, whatever the Jets are back in the points in the Western Conference playoff race, it's going to be two more points behind, you know, likely after tonight's games are all wrapped up. So, look, they're not going to say, yeah, the season's over, but anybody who understands math and anyone who understands numbers know where the Jets are at and where the realistic picture for this team is. But the questions become, what of next year? And that's certainly where everyone's focus is on, because this has been an unmitigated disaster of a season for a team that had a lot of high hopes and was a pick of some reputable hockey people as potentially a Stanley Cup winner or a Stanley Cup contender. And look where they are in the standings. And then compare that to tonight's opponent, the LA Kings. You know, the LA Kings, nobody thought they were a playoff team this year, but they come in and they have a structure and they have a head coach in Todd McClellan, who's a veteran who knows how to coach a team and to mold them so that their style of play and their effort matches what they're doing. And this is an LA Kings team that's injury riddled, no Drew Doughty. And they just are, they know how to play and they know how they need to win. And it's sort of refreshing to see a team like that, given the Jets have been the complete opposite of that for most of this year.
Well, the Kings young and hungry.
There's no selfishness there at all.
Didn't work for Todd McClellan, though, in Edmonton, but that's another story. I agree. They play with a structure. They're disciplined. They don't break form. At least it seems like that. I can't say I watch a lot of their games, but they were the better team. They came out to play. They showed up at puck drop and I guess they're playing for their jobs. They're playing to stay with the, you know, they're playing to stay. And I'm not sure what some of the Jet players are playing for, you know?
Well, you know, it's an accountability question, I would say, largely. And that is what's been lacking from this Winnipeg Jets team for a long time, is the accountability factor. You didn't play well. You had soft plays here, there, and everywhere. That's okay. You still get your first line minutes. You still get your first power play minutes. There's no repercussions. And, you know, I tell my kids all the time, and they're learning, and they're seven, and they're almost seven and almost five. There's repercussions for your actions. Well, most places, not so much in the Winnipeg Jets dressing room.
Not when you're making millions and millions of dollars, no.
You know, it's the reality of the situation, Joe. In any event, let's get into the game recap of tonight's loss of the Jets at the hands of the LA Kings. It's brought to you by Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. If some of our friends in the comments section can keep me up to date on the Duke-UNC game, I would appreciate that. I know it's at half, but I am curious because I may or may not have placed a bet with our friends at Betway about tonight's college basketball. I know John Chan is usually here. John said, go Duke earlier today. I didn't ban you from the show, John, but I definitely considered doing it because there shall be no go Duke comments while I'm in charge of this fine program. Not sure if you're a college basketball guy or not, Joe.
Just during March Madness.
There you go. That's usually how it is for a lot of guys, me included. LA Kings open the scoring.
Yes.
At the 2:21 mark of the first period, it's shorthanded.
No.
The Jets gave up another shorthanded goal. Adrian Kempe, his 29th of the year, assist to Philip Deneau and Alex Edler. It's 1-0 LA before people have had a chance to even take the lids off their beer. And, you know, it's not a carbon copy of the goal on Thursday night. But, you know, who's the guy coming back who fails to really make the check that's necessary? Mark Scheifele.
Well, you know, we get on Mark Scheifele for back-checking, his lack of it. Of course, it was Ehlers who got caught at the blue line, at the LA blue line, and that created the 2-on-1. Scheifele got back, and he got back. I think he was stride for stride with Kempe, so he got back, but he forgot about the checking part. You know, back checking means you got to do two things. You got to get back and you got to check. He forgot about the checking part. So as they got to the net, Scheifele goes this way and Kempe goes this way where the puck is. So I don't know where, you know, maybe Mark is colorblind, doesn't see black very well, doesn't know where the puck is, but he went in an opposite direction to where the puck was. And Kempe, what the puck went off a skate or something and beat Hellebuyck. So,
well, you know, it's the attention to detail. And Joe, I mean, I've been talking about this for the entirety of the season.
Yes.
It's, you know, I understand what Scheifele's thinking there. He's thinking that, okay, no, I'm not justifying.
Do tell.
He's got the one track mind of, I'm going to do the flyby. I'm going to turn up the ice and we're going to have an odd man rush going the other way, which is great in theory, but it doesn't work in reality, because in reality, you've abandoned the play and you've abandoned your responsibilities. It's just, there's a time and a place for risk. When you're on the power play and the other team has a shorthanded opportunity, that is not the time for a risky, offensive-minded play. You're 200 feet away from the opponent's goal. What kind of maneuver are you going to, you know, execute 200 feet away that's going to immediately or ultimately be the catalyst for a goal? It's unlikely. You don't need to take a risk there because you're on the power play. Stay with your guy, tie up your guy, then mitigate the problem and turn it around and go up the ice and score a power play goal because you have the man advantage. It's just the logic escapes me in any in any other way. It can't be how you're, it's not how you're taught. I just don't know. I know that you're, you know, I know that you're an offensively inclined player, but to be so irresponsible on the defensive side, it just doesn't make any sense, Joe.
No, only unless you've been getting away with it for a few years.
Sure.
And you're allowed to get away with it, and there's no repercussions, as you said. And, you know, and who do we point the finger at in that case?
Well, then you pointed at, I mean, coaching.
Paul, yeah. And, you know, and that's Paul Maurice, who allowed all of these blunders to just continue. I've been saying for seasons, I'd never seen a team that would turn the puck over at whether it's their blue line or the opposing blue line more than the Jets, because they make some dumb 3-foot pass, right?
Yeah.
And of course it would play would be either kept in the zone or go back the other way and the other team would score. And nothing was ever done about that until this season, when the Jets finally started to dump and chase. They haven't mastered dump and chase yet, but they're trying, right? So I'm going to blame Maurice on letting a lot of these this bad play fester in the way the makeup of the Winnipeg Jets, and for not, you know, having consequences, you know, for players who make those plays. I should adjust that. If you are a fourth line player, there's a consequence. If you're a first line player, I look the other way.
Doesn't that say a lot in and of itself? If you're not treating it, you know, and you don't necessarily have to treat everyone equally, but you should demand more from your best players. They need to be the ones who are driving the bus. They need to be the ones with the leadership responsibilities on their shoulders to ensure that the third and the fourth line players do what they're supposed to do. And the truth is, the third and the fourth line guys are usually going to be responsible because it's the small details that keep them in the lineup. Yeah. It's when the first line guys, the top line guys, don't have those attention to details and don't have that, and don't have any of those insistence on the small things, that it really becomes a problem for the team. Yeah. And that's just what you're seeing. They're a team of just mistake after mistake on a consistent basis.
Yeah. And there's a reason why players are who wear letters, they're supposed to lead.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Lead by example. And Mark Scheifele, you know, is not leading by example. He's leading all the bad things. Blake Wheeler, you know, we can get into Blake Wheeler and his deficiencies, but I'm going to say that I'm going to defend Blake Wheeler because I've seen him. I've seen a difference in his game since coming back from the COVID. I've seen a difference. I see him putting in the effort.
Yeah.
Right. He still takes some dumb penalties, you know, he still, but I do see effort. I do see him getting off the ice earlier than he normally does. Though there was one shift tonight where he didn't. Mark Scheifele still stays on there way too long. But Wheeler has tried to change and has changed. Right. And as goes Blake Wheeler, so go the Winnipeg Jets.
And there's a big difference between, you know, trying to do the right thing and knowing what the right thing is and maybe not being able to execute it as well as you once were able to because you're a year older and you have another 100 games on your body versus knowing what the right thing is and just refusing to do it. And that's the difference between the two. Yes. I agree with you. You know, take the salary out of the equation, because look, somebody's going to offer you $8 million. Somebody's going to offer you $6 million. You're going to take it from the guy who's offering you $8 million. That's not Blake Wheeler's fault. But yeah, you're right. His attention to detail and his commitment, I would say, to doing the right thing has been better throughout the course of the season. He might not be able to execute as well as he once did, but that's the reality of a guy who's getting a longer in the tooth in terms mm-hmm. of his NHL career. But he knows the right thing and what to do. And for the most part, he tries to do it. It's yeah. Shifley who knows what the right thing is to do and still refuses to do it. And that's the big difference between the two and the big problem between the two as this Winnipeg Jets season is quickly coming to an end. Yeah. 1-0 LA at that point in time. The Jets tie it up a few minutes later, about 4 minutes and 3 seconds later at the 6:24 mark of the first period. Nikolaj Ehlers, his 22nd of the season, assist to Mark Scheifele, starts with a good play in the defensive zone, a good transition up the ice by Scheifele. Credit here where it's due.
No, I'm going to disagree with you on that. It started because of the Paul's Stastny taking the LA King player, coming back and back-checking and taking that LA King player out, which led to the puck becoming right. free that Scheifele picked up. So Stastny didn't get an assist, but he's the reason there was a goal.
Yes. Oh, yes. It definitely starts with a good back check. The turnover, you know, just inside the Jets' blue line there. Absolutely. I thought Stastny deserved a point there. And then the transition happens. And, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers, you know, I thought Cal Peterson was a little bit in between what he wanted to do, mm-hmm. seemed unsure of himself, in goal for the Kings on this play. And look, Ehlers is, we know how good Nikolaj Ehlers is.
Yes.
And he's a special player and he's a fun player to watch on a night by night basis. And this is his 22nd of the season. And for a Jets team that really hadn't played well to start the first period, well, they're 1-1, mm-hmm. after 6.5 minutes.
It looked good. Okay. Well, maybe they're, they've woken up, and that's especially since it was Scheifele was on the line, did make a very nice pass. Dealers, it was the soft goal, as you said. So you kind of had they've got that out of their system, right? They're going to start playing better now, which wasn't the case.
It was not the case. Andrzej Kopitar, who is still a fantastic player and can yes. absolutely play for my team any day of the week. At the 10:32 mark of the first period, Andrzej Kopitar, his 18th of the year, assist to Adrian Kempe and Sean Durzi. Kempe already with a 2-point night, barely halfway through the first period. I can see Mark Sports Video putting it up in the comments there. It's a free pizza from Dylan DeMello. If we want to channel our old friend, Claude Noel, it's as free as a pizza as you usually get. Yes. And this was just an absolute boneheaded play. You can see what DeMello's doing. He yes. just misses. He just misfires on the pass, and boom, it's yeah. in the back of the Jets net.
And okay, so we all know it was DeMello's mistake, right? Okay. And yes, he shouldn't have done that. It's not because of a lack of effort. Mm-hmm. It's not because he's not trying to do the right thing. He just made a bad play.
Yeah.
And in hockey's a game of mistakes, and he made one. And the Kings capitalized and pounced very quickly on that mistake. So, yeah, we can, that's on DeMello. He knows that, but he was pretty solid the rest of the game.
Yeah. Mistakes like that are sort of more understandable because yeah. they're made by humans. It's, you can see what he's doing. He just misfires it. It's just, it's as simple as that. It's, it's a pitcher who throws a bad pitch that he's trying to hit the corner and it gets the heart of the plate and it's a home run over the fence instead. That's just what it is. It's not it's just poor execution. It's not a poor approach or a poor strategy or anything like that. And so it's almost a little bit more understandable than just, flybys where nothing good is happening there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was like an unfortunate error and, it just the Kings just took over sort of the game. It seemed at that point, or at least for the rest of the period, they just dominated. The Jets just weren't there in wow. the rest of the way after that. And good for Hellebuck to keep the Jets in this one, in that first period, as much as he did in Buffalo the other night, right? And I mean that power play, you know, that the Kings had. I think Hellebuyck made five saves, mm-hmm. five or six saves on that power play to keep it a one goal game. And, you know, I did have a problem with the penalty. Mm-hmm. Like, how does Pionk get a penalty for hip checking the player with the puck?
You know, it was called tripping. I thought it looked like a relative, you know, and you sort of look at it in slow motion, and does he get the leg out a little bit more than the hip? I mean, it wasn't to me blatant. I can understand why the official thinks it's a penalty there, just the way sort of Pionk's leg was out a little bit, but I thought it was more hip than trip. You can maybe I should trademark that slogan or something. See if I can sell some t-shirts after the show. But I thought it was more hip than trip, but obviously the officials disagreed, and I can sort of understand why they came to that conclusion there. In a year of some questionable calls, I don't think it was the most questionable one we've seen.
No, that came later in the game, at the end of the game. We'll get into that one too.
We'll get into some of those. Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into some of those. But the first period ends with the Kings up 2-1 on the Winnipeg Jets. Just a dominant first period by the Kings. If you look at possession, and yeah. We talked about the Kings, they're a good possession team. 70%, 69.7% of possession at 5-on-5 versus the Jets 30.3%. It's just not good enough. I mean, that is as one-sided as a hockey game usually gets. And it's 2-1 for the Kings after 20 minutes. We say good evening to everybody joining us. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm your regular host, Drew Mandel. Ezzy and Dave, I don't know where they are. I got rid of the dead weight. I brought in an expert, Joe Piscucci, longtime Winnipeg sportscaster, joining us for tonight's post-game show. Way better than the other two yutzes that nobody cares about anyways. So it's great to have Joe with us. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button on the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast. You know how you do it. We like that you do it on an each and every game basis. And again, on every Saturday morning. The Kings make it 3-1. Turns out to be the game-winning goal. It's at the 3:05 mark of the third period here. And this was second period. Yes, Joe, thank you. A bad bounce, really, coming back to bite the Jets. The Kings enter the zone. Dursey, the defenseman who got the secondary assist on the Kopitar goal, doesn't get an assist on this one, but he starts the play. He walks in through the defense, takes the puck in behind the net, and eventually comes back out to the point. And the shot, Hellebuyck makes the save, then it ricochets off Josh Morrissey back behind Hellebuyck into the net. Gabe Vilardi gets credited for his third goal of the season, and it's a 3-1 goal on a bad bounce against the Jets for the second consecutive game.
Yeah, and that's an unfortunate break for Josh Morrissey, who I thought, you know, he was one of the better Jets tonight. He was certainly, I think, the most physical of all the Jet players tonight. He dished out a number of hits, especially in that second period. And yeah, the puck just sort of, you know, coming off Hellebuyck, and I think, and it hits Josh. And then he does a little spinorama play, and that's when he does the spinorama. That's when he propelled it into the goal. So an unfortunate, a break for the Jets, an unfortunate, break for Morrissey, who, you know, and for that penalty kill, because I thought the Jets did a really good job on that penalty kill. And it was almost over when that puck went in, and as you said, it as it turns out, that was the game winning goal.
Yeah, that was the game winning goal indeed. The Jets do cut it to 3-2. Right. Adam Lowry, just as the power play expires, this is when who's in the box here for the Kings? Bjornfoot is in the box for the LA Kings. The power play expires seconds earlier. Adam Lowry gets his 11th of the season. Assist to Ville Heinola and Neil Pionk. Nothing pretty about it. It's good puck movement. It's a shot through on Cal Peterson, and it's a body in front to deposit a rebound. It doesn't always have to be pretty. There's no bonus points for pretty. It's effective, and I think the Jets need more of that. Obviously, they needed more of that in the course of the game. Yeah. But Adam Lowry, big body, bangs on a loose puck.
Isn't that unusual to see a Jet in front of the net? Isn't it nice?
Yeah. Both their goal and the opponent's goal.
Like, is this rocket science? You take away the goalie's eyes. That's what you're supposed to do, you know? And the Jets, and this is not just this season, this is other seasons too. They're just reluctant to go to the front of the net.
Yeah.
Dave or Adam, now I'm doing the Jamal Myers thing, calling him Dave.
Calling him by the wrong name.
So, Adam Lowry, yeah. Who I thought his line with Svechnikov and Appleton were the best. I think they got the Jets back into this game with their two. There's two good shifts that they had. Prior to that power play goal, that they dominated the Kings and they put all the pressure, good forechecking, didn't lead to goals. But I think it turned the tide in the Jets' favor because they seemed to control the game much after that. But on that power play, you know, Hinola makes a, you know, some good play back at the point, gets the shot to the net, and then Lowry bangs in the rebound, which is what, you know, you're supposed to do. You got to work, you know, get to the dirty areas,
mm-hmm.
Right?
It's a pretty simple game.
Yes.
You know, in 2022, it's a pretty simple game. Get to the dirty areas in the opponent's zone. Good things are going to happen.
Yes.
In your own zone, prevent the opponent from getting to the dirty areas. Good things are likely going to happen. Not very difficult. Excuse me. I sneezed there for a second. It's not a very difficult game, but sometimes the Jets make it out to be way more difficult than it is. What did you think of Ville Heinola's game tonight, Joe? We've seen him now for, you know, a few games in a row now. He's been very effective at putting up points. What did you think of his performance on the back end for the Jets?
I thought he was okay. I didn't, you know, I didn't think he played a bad game, you know. You know, he certainly doesn't have the body size or the strength yet, right? So he's not going to muscle too many players out, but he's creative. He opens up areas. He doesn't seem to panic with the puck, mm-hmm. You know, where some other players seem to get that puck on their stick and they, you know, they'll make a soft shot to the goaltender for what I don't know. You know, like, here, play catch.
Yeah. Right? See if you can stop this one.
Yeah. It's coming in like at 40 miles an hour. Do you think you can stop this one? Yeah, I think a goaltender can. But I thought he played really well. You know, I know he took an unfortunate penalty near the end of the game, which, mm-hmm. You know, we can get into that later because that was a joke penalty to be called. And I know why the penalty was called, which we'll get into a little later. But I liked his game. Sure, he's going to have – he's basically still a rookie, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, I mean, he's start and stops to his career. I mean, this stretch to me tells me he belongs at this level.
He belonged at this level before.
Of course he did.
The Jets seem to have this pattern now where they're going to keep their good young players in the minors for a year or two, whether it's for budgetary reasons or something. But they seem to, you know, put players down in with the Moose, which is good for development. But, you know, they're... Hanula could have been playing up in the NHL and could have been giving the Jets solid minutes. Sure, he's going to make his mistakes, but he's still been, in my view, a very good defenseman for the team in the limited time that we've gotten to see him.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, and it's look, at the end of the second period and the third period comes down to special teams that the Jets had four power play opportunities and they weren't able to capitalize. And, you know, and sure they had the one penalty against, the Heinola penalty, which probably wasn't a great call. I can, again, sort of understand why the official made that call. When you're looking at it, he gets his stick sort of up underneath the arm.
Oh, no, the LA player grabbed the stick.
But every player's taught to do that now because the officials make that call.
You know why the referee called the penalty or the official?
Because
the Jets had the last four power plays.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason they called the penalty.
Well, you're
that was it. There was no penalty there.
Well,
just like on the hip check, there was no penalty for hip checking a player with the puck.
Well, then it's look, I don't disagree with you that game management is a factor. And the, you know, the NHL, when they denied that that's a factor, that's utter nonsense, as you and I both know. Not that they can come out and say anything differently, but in that situation, the Jets players have to know you can't be loose with your stick because it's going to get called on you.
He wasn't loose with his stick. He was going for the puck, trying to win a puck race, a race for the puck. The LA player grabs his stick.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
And he gets a penalty for hooking.
It was a smart play by the LA player, is what I would say.
It was a stupid play by the official.
because he had the
little rocks in his pocket leaning far to one side that he had to try and even it up.
Those two things aren't mutually exclusive. It can both be a smart play by the LA Kings player and a stupid call by the official. Both those things could be true at the same time, and I think in that case it was. But the Jets did an admirable job in killing off that penalty.
Yeah.
It's the penalties before that and the penalty after that, the Alex Edler penalty with 19 seconds to go in the game. And before that, you got the Trevor Moore penalty at the end of the second, Adrian Kempe at the end of the second, where the Jets really had the last 3 minutes of the second period on the power play. You know, it's opportunities like that that you have to capitalize on, mm-hmm. that the Jets just weren't able to do so in tonight's contest.
I think the two times they looked good on the power play was when the second unit went out, and that led to the Lowry goal,
sure.
which came after the power play had expired.
Right.
And then that one, I think the power play in the third period, the first unit looked good on that. They had like three good scoring opportunities, but couldn't get it in. Otherwise, they looked so, not very good.
The Kings, to me, you know, especially let's say after the halfway mark of the third period, the Kings were more than content to hit the center line, dump the puck into the corner, and put forth a minimal effort at a forecheck. They were happy to line up five guys, mm-hmm. and, you know, really at their own blue line and try and get and say to the Jets, beat us that way. And the Jets weren't able to do it. They really did play a prevent defense.
Yes.
And they played it well. They played it effectively. Oftentimes it doesn't work, but tonight for the Kings, you know, a team that has certainly been one of the surprises of the NHL this year, they won yet another one goal game,
right.
and they affirmed themselves in that second spot in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, there was one other chance that the Jets had, and I think Wheeler created. He got a chip the puck to Scheifele, which created in the offensive zone, which created a 2-on-1 with Dubois in the middle. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been on the Jets because it seems like every 2-on-1 they try to make a pass, and it doesn't work. Right, this time Scheifele shot and it didn't work. But if he had passed, Dubois had an open net.
You can't win.
Going, like, oh, the one time I want him to pass, he doesn't. He takes the shot.
It ultimately ends up 3-2 for the Los Angeles Kings, a disappointing loss for the Winnipeg Jets that really does drive yet another nail into what is already a very closed coffin for the hometown team. They are next in action on Wednesday night against the woeful Detroit Red Wings that should generate some good feelings, but we've seen the Jets' record in those games that they should win this year, and it's certainly been lacking in more than one occasion. This has been the Betway Game Recap. It's simple, fun, and safe to bet with Betway. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. You must be 19 years or older to play. Joe, let's take a commercial break. When we come back, more on tonight's Jets-Kings game. We'll see if we can gather some post-game reaction, talk more about this team, where they go from here. Haven't caught up with you in a while, so stick around with us, everyone. Drew Mandel, Joe Piscucci, it's the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Now, boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Manuk minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called GridPark. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The GridPark app?
Yep. Spelled GRYD Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the GridPark app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the GridPark app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For 3 generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Saturday night, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Joe Piscucci with you. Hope everyone's having a good night. Maybe you've got a beverage in hand. Would not blame you if you even have two. Not sure if you're much of a drinker, Joe, or what your drink of choice is. But
yeah, I'll be drinking after this one.
I hope that's more about the Jets and less about having to spend time with me. But no. I totally understand if it's...
It's all drowning my sorrows, you know. You know, I'm not in the... You know, I'm not covering sports on a daily basis. I can be the fan, yeah. Right? And so I really do want the Jets to win. Of course, I've been following this team since the early 80s when I got to Winnipeg. So the losses hurt. They hurt.
I understand that. Are you still doing your you were doing some work for the Hockey Hall of Fame before?
Hopefully that project will resume once the COVID
delayed
is over and people can start going back to the hall. Because they're hurting too, because, you know, they're a nonprofit and they make their money from people coming to the hall. And so there hasn't been a lot of visitors. So it's tough for them to do these projects. But I would definitely, like to go back there and use, you know, sort of the knowledge that I have of hockey history and put it to use there.
Yeah, it's certainly a good way to spend your time. I'm sure it's interesting and informative and everything along those lines. So it's sort of.
And I get to hang out with the Stanley Cup. So
you're not going to be doing that in Winnipeg this year. So you might as well do it in Toronto. And hopefully if you're doing it in Toronto, it's just at the Hall of Fame and not actually with the Leafs carrying something.
The Leafs are gone in the first round.
We shall see.
Wheeler go around Giordano?
I saw it. Look, nothing. Yeah. I'm not one to say that I'm not against any Schadenfreude. So if anybody wants to enjoy that and watch the Leafs go out in the first round yet again, I'm perfectly okay with that happening in any event. You know, it's going to be a fascinating offseason here in Winnipeg, Joe. And I don't know if you were watching Elliot and Jeff in the second intermission, Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick, and we talked about this on this morning's Illegal Curve Hockey Show fairly extensively. This idea that Bruce Boudreau might not be back in Vancouver, right. I think presents a huge opportunity for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, I'm on record as saying that, you know, when Boudreaux got hired in Vancouver in November this year, whenever it was, the Jets, I thought that was a missed opportunity for the Jets. And of course, Maurice was still the head coach at that time, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they can miss out on that opportunity a second time if he's no longer going to be the head coach in Vancouver and if he's willing to come to Winnipeg. I just think that it's an outside voice that's had a track record of success. And unless for some reason Lou Lamoriello decides Barry Trotz isn't his guy anymore in Long Island, Bruce Boudreaux, to me, would be a wonderful new head coach of the Winnipeg Jets.
It seems the old school coaches are in, right? Daryl Sutter in Calgary. Look what the job that he's done.
Yeah.
And look at the job Boudreaux's done. And what did Paul Maurice say when he left? This team needs a different voice.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Lowry was not the different voice.
He wasn't.
And that's I don't think he's even tried. Like I've always wondered, is he an interim coach who's trying to coach so that he'll get the job next year? Or is he an interim coach who knows he's not going to get the job next year? And so he's not going to, you know, sit down a player like Scheifele or bench players because he,
you wonder how much, leeway he has to really try and mold this team.
Right.
You know, and I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think he has any.
Yeah.
Except when it comes to the fourth line players.
Well, speaking of a depth player on the Jets, Jansen Harkins left the game early tonight. He's going to be re-evaluated tomorrow. There should be an update on his status for Monday when the Jets are back on the ice in preparation for their game on Wednesday against the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, to me, it would be utterly bizarre that the opportunity to hire Boudreaux again would even present itself. I mean, I don't know what they're doing in Vancouver, but... Yeah. You know,
well, I mean, with Jimmy Rutherford, you know that, you know, Paul Maurice.
Yeah, I know.
Jimmy Rutherford are tight.
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 Can you, I mean, people in Winnipeg would lose their minds. They would simply
I think I'd be happy. I'd be happy. I'm happy for Paul, and I'd be happy that he would do what, you know, sure, in the short term, he'd probably get the Vancouver Canucks a bump. But in the long term,
well, I don't think it'd be more than a bump than Bruce Boudreaux, though. That's the difference.
No, but for some reason, Boudreaux, seems to rub some hockey people the wrong way, right? And all he does is get teams winning.
Yeah, all he does is get teams to the playoffs. I mean, that seems like a pretty good head coach in my books. And I know,
I don't know. But it means, is he too, maybe they think that he's too old school, right? I mean, I think that if the Jets do make a change, which I think they will. So I'm thinking it's Pascal Vincent because of his ties to the organization. He knows the players, you know, the veterans. And he also knows the younger players because he coached them with the Moose. He knows pretty well everybody on this roster.
You know, I was reading a book. It's a great book. It's about the New England Patriots, and it's about the sort of the triumvirate of Belichick and Bob Kraft, who is, of course, the owner of the Patriots, and Tom Brady. And when Bill Parcells was the head coach in New England, and then he went, they had the very ugly divorce. If you're an NFL fan, you want to go way back. It was an ugly divorce between Belichick and the Patriots and Bill Parcells and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And Bill Belichick was always tied. He was always sort of at the hip of Bill Parcells. They were always, Belichick was the defensive coordinator on those great New York Giants teams of Bill Parcells back in the day. And, Belichick and Kraft had a very good relationship when he was the defensive coordinator in New England. And then Parcells got fired and there was the fallout. And a lot of people thought that Belichick should have got the job at that point in time. It went to Pete Carroll, and then it went to Belichick afterwards is how it played out. But, what Bob Kraft said, and he relays it in the book, is he says, that wasn't the time. They needed a fresh voice to come into the organization then.
Yes.
And sure, Pete Carroll wasn't the right voice, and the organization took a step back when they hired Pete Carroll. That to me is part of the reason why I don't think the time would be right for Pascal Vincent. Now, I think Pascal is going to be a successful NHL head coach, but I think this organization, which is so insular and which is, you know, oftentimes doesn't like to rock the boat. I think that whomever is the next head coach, it needs to be from the outside. It needs to be somebody with a fresh perspective. It needs to be somebody coming in who doesn't necessarily have any allegiances, doesn't have any ties, has minimal connections. Look, Bruce Boudreau might not have any direct connections to the Winnipeg Jets, but Bruce Boudreau has been an NHL head coach for so long and so well regarded that I don't think you need those ties. You need somebody who is going to be a fresh voice, a sober second thought for the team. And that's why I think it has to be somebody from the outside, not in this case, somebody like Pascal Vincent or Mark Morrison or somebody else. Like, you know, you used to see the Oilers just always hiring ex-Oilers for so long.
I didn't catch the show this morning, but so I assume then Randy Carlisle was off your guys' list. He was
not even on the list of our list. Ties. Randy Carlisle, I mean, Carlisle hasn't been a head coach in the league for so long now that I think he's a non-starter.
And, the same as Sutter was.
Yeah, fair. That's fine. That's fine. But Alain Vigneault, to me, also wouldn't be on the list. Yeah. You know, because, again, I think you need I think you need somebody from the outside. Now, look, this whole discussion changes if Kevin Cheveldayoff is also replaced. And I don't believe that that's going to happen.
No.
Should it happen? I can certainly make an argument for it, and I can certainly
I can make the argument the other way.
Sure, that's fine.
I think, you know, what were most of us all saying, that he did a great job in building this lineup at the start of the season, right? And I don't think anybody had a problem with any of the players, you know, that he brought in or signed. You know, I mean, sure, he's had a failing of getting a solid fourth line for this hockey team. Mm-hmm. Right. What their best fourth line ever was Hendricks, Armia, and Perreault. You know, that was their best fourth line ever, better than GST. I'm sorry for the fans of the GST line, but GST that was their best fourth line.
That's because GST was the third line for the team back in the day. That's the scariest part of the whole thing. Yeah, they were the third line. I mean, you want to go back and some of those, you know, fourth line players for the Jets in the early years was really a rough go at it for a while.
So I think Chevy, in my view, I think he's done a good job. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate on the comments section, but I don't see this as a Chevy problem. I agree with Craig Button, who said, was it average coaching?
That was, well, so we had Craig on. So, you know, Craig made his comments on the trade deadline show on TSN. And then we had Craig on last Saturday. And I encourage anybody who's missed it, it's on our YouTube channel, it's on the podcast, it's about at the hour and a half mark. We had Craig on to expand on his comments and really delve deeper into it. And he was fantastic. And, you know, Craig Button is a hockey guy through and through. So when he says something, there's usually some stock to it and there's some validity to it. I encourage you, I encourage everybody to go back, listen to what Craig Button had to say on last Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show for some real insight into the coaching flaws of this Winnipeg Jets team.
Well, if Jimmy Rutherford decides he doesn't want Bruce Boudreau back, I'm sure that Winnipeg Jet fans would welcome him here after seeing the job that he has done with the Vancouver Canucks and how he turned that team around.
I would agree. I would agree with you there, Joe. I would agree with you wholeheartedly. Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment. We give this out after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. Tonight's winner, Maxime Chapelaz. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. The Jets need a full reset in the coaching staff. This system that the Jets have been running since coming to Winnipeg has not worked. It has been proven year in and year out. Congratulations to you, Maxime. You are the winner of tonight's Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment. Send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or send me a DM on Twitter @ICDrew. Send me your mailing address, and we'll ship you out a toque from our friends at Tough Duck, the sponsor of the Hardest Hitting Comment on each and every post-game show here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. with that in mind, we want to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, and the website a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. Joe Piscucci, it's been a lot of fun. We're going to have to do it again real soon, whether you want to or not, Joe. If we haven't scared you off, we want you back to do this. This has been tons of fun. Give us a final thought. You get the final word because I'm just humbled to be in your broadcasting presence.
I said on Twitter coming out of the All-Star break that the Jets could only afford to lose 10 games in regulation if they had any hope of making the playoffs because they had to reach 96 points. Tonight was loss number 10.
That is, I think, says a lot, doesn't it?
Can I give it a short plug? If you go to my Twitter feed, at Piscucci015, look at my pinned tweet. It's the story or an interview I did on Winnipeg Sports Talk about the first black blue bomber.
It was a great interview.
Ernie Williams. So some video, actually have film of him playing. So I encourage your followers to check that out for those of you that are Blue Bomber fans.
I would also encourage everybody to do that. Follow Joe on Twitter, Piscucci015. He does a great job and he's got all sorts of classic Winnipeg Jets video. You must have a second house in Toronto that just has all your videotapes and all your old videos that you throw up there on Twitter, because you're a fantastic follow on Twitter there, Joe, and all the great stuff that you bring to the audience. Some of it a new audience is, of course, that may not remember the good old days of 1.0 or even before that. But it's a terrific follow on Twitter.
They Joe, were fun days. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you giving your time, your insight. Everybody in the audience, I'm sure I can speak for them as well. It was great seeing you as well. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Again, we'll be back Wednesday night after the Jets and the Red Wings. It's a 6:30 start on Wednesday night, which means post-game show right around, I think, 9:15 or so. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button. Hit the subscribe button on the YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button on the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And again, on Saturday mornings, is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. For Joe Piscucci, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for joining us. Until Wednesday night, we wish you good night and good luck.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.